According to Bohmian mechanics, every physical object is composed of point particles that move around and interact with each other. No special role is reserved to conscious beings nor to measurements. An observer is just a bunch of particles, and a measurement is just the interaction between different systems made out of particles. Such a process must be described by the Schrödinger equation as any other quantum mechanical interaction, and nothing special can happen there. So how comes then that measurements and self-adjoint operators are so central in standard quantum mechanics? Well, standard quantum mechanics is a theory about measurements, so measurements are fundamental by definition. On the contrary, Bohmian mechanics is a theory about point particles that move. So what happens is in measurements must be derived from the fundamental dynamics of point particles as a special case. In this view, self-adjoint operators are just mathematically very convenient means to handle measurement situations. They are just very sophisticated bookkeeping techniques that are useful for describing a measurement. So let's see how the measurement formalism comes about from the fundamental equations of Bohmian mechanics. A measurement is the interaction between two physical systems, the system to be measured that is characterized by the configuration X. I will call it for this reason the X system. And this system interacts with another system that is characterized by the configuration Y, that I will call the Y system. That is the apparatus that performs the measurement. Now we saw already how the measurement described, how a measurement situation looks like in the chapter about the measurement problem, but I will repeat here the fundamental things. So in order to understand the interaction between these two systems as a measurement, some properties must be fulfilled. So there must be a set of states phi I of Y, of the Y system, for I equals 0, 1, and so on, that correspond to the different outcomes of the measurement. So we want to be able to have a set of clearly distinguishable states that correspond to the apparatus pointing the first value, the second value, and so on after the measurement. For this to be true, it must be that it must be easy to recognize in which state the apparatus is. In other words, it must be true that if the configuration of the apparatus after the measurement, so Y, is such that phi I of Y is different from 0 for a certain I, then it must happen that phi J of Y must be equal to 0 for every J not equal I. This means that if we find that the configuration of the apparatus is where the function phi I is different from 0, we can be sure that the apparatus is in the state phi I, because all other states do not have support there, where support is the name given to the set of points Y such that phi I of Y is not 0. So this is the first requirement that we have for a measurement. In addition to that, we ask that the states phi I are normalized. This is just a simplification, and it means just that the probabilities are easy to write in this way. In addition to that, we want that the system Y measures the system X. That means it must be sensitive to the state of the system X. So in other words, we want that the system X has some states phi I that are such that if the system X starts in the state phi I and the apparatus in its ready state that I will call big phi zero, then the Schrödinger evolution of the composite system brings the composite system in a state such that the apparatus points the outcome I. So when the X system starts in the state I, the apparatus points the outcome I. This requirement is actually not really needed. I mean, one can weaken it and have a different formalism out of this weakened version. This formalism that one gets is more general than the formalism that we will get. That is the usual formalism of quantum mechanics, of textbooks. But for simplicity, we will here stick to that, to this textbook formalism. Now, given this property, if we start with the system X in the state phi, that is a superposition of states phi I, then by linearity, what happens is the following. So if we start with the X system in the state phi and the apparatus in its ready state, then by linearity, the composite system evolves so that the state after the interaction is this one. I will call the state simply psi t of x and y. If we want now to calculate the probability that the apparatus points the outcome I after the measurement interaction, then we have to do the following. So the probability of the outcome I is equal to, we have to integrate the modulus squared of the final state of the composite system on the set of interest. So we integrate in X over the whole space because we don't care what the position of the X system is in the end. And we integrate in Y over the support of phi I, because we want the probability that the configuration of the Y system is in the end in the support of the state corresponding to the I outcome. And we integrate here the final state, modulus squared, of course. Now we can substitute in the expression for the final state that I just wrote and perform the calculation. So what we get, just sticking in the expression for psi t, is this, and now we can just use the fact that all terms that so of course in this expression I is the index that we have fixed for the outcome that we are looking at. So the index that we sum on in the final state must be different, is j. I use j now. So all the states that contain states phi j with j different than I are then zero, because for y in the support of phi I, phi j is different for j different than I. So the only term that is left in here is that containing only the function big phi of I. That because of the normalization of the states phi I, big and small, reduces simply to the modulus squared of the coefficient ci. So the probability of getting the outcome I in the end, that is the probability that the configuration of the apparatus is in the end inside the support of the state phi I, is just the modulus squared of the coefficient ci. Note that in these conditions, the X system under consideration admits an effective wave function both before and after the measurement. This means that there is an interaction between the X system and the apparatus, so we have to consider the composite system of both, but before and after the interaction, the X system can be described on its own. Now, the effective wave function of the X system before the apparatus is just the state phi x, because the composite system has a product structure. And after the interaction, the X system has the effective wave function phi I t of x. This is because the states big phi j with j different than I are zero, where y is in the support of phi I, and therefore we can apply the reasoning that we had in the section about the effective wave function, and we get the effective wave function of the system x after the measurement is just phi I. So then the probability of getting the outcome y is also the probability that the wave function, the effective wave function of the x system, is phi I after the measurement. And this was c I modulus squared. Now, the states phi I that can be distinguished by a measurement of this kind cannot be chosen arbitrarily. They must satisfy some properties. Let's see which properties. First thing is they must be orthogonal. To see this, consider the norm of the composite system, of the state of the composite system before the measurement. So the norm of phi times the ready state is equal to the integral over the whole space of x and y of the state modulus squared. Now we can bring phi, big phi zero outside of the sum and integrate, and by because it's normalized, we get 1, so only the x integral is left. And we get this expression here, where phi I is of course a function of x. Now we can divide out the diagonal term and the off-diagonal terms. The diagonal terms are easy to integrate because the functions phi I are also normalized, so we get just ci modulus squared, and for the off-diagonal terms we are left with this integral. Now, let's write also the norm of the state of the composite system after the measurement. So, the state after the measurement I called psi t, and we have to calculate the norm of this state. Now it's again integral in x and y over the whole space. Now the apparatus is not anymore in the ready state, but it already points to the outcome y. Now, because of the orthogonality of the states phi I, that means when one is different from zero, then all others are equal to zero, we can easily integrate this expression. Every off-diagonal terms vanishes. We are left only with the diagonal terms, and they integrate to one because the function with the wave function are normalized. So we are left only with this expression. Now, the evolution that brings the initial state to the final state is the usual Schrödinger equation. This evolution is unitary. That means it preserves norms. Therefore, the norm of the state after the interaction must be equal to the norm of the state before the interaction. So we see that this expression must be equal to this expression. That implies that the sum here of the off-diagonal terms must vanish. So let me rewrite this. So we get that the sum for I different from j, ci star cj of the integral dx phi I star of x phi j of x must vanish. But the coefficients ci and cj are arbitrary. We can start from any wave function. Therefore, to have this expression equal to zero, what we actually need to have is that this integral is equal to zero. And this means phi I, phi j scalar product is equal to zero. So the states phi I must be orthogonal to each other. This is the first requirement that we have for states that can be distinguished by an apparatus such that we described. The second property comes from the fact that we can start the measurement with the X system in any state, in any arbitrary state. And the apparatus at the end of the interaction must always give some answer. It must always point out one outcome. So this means that every possible state phi of the X system must be such that we can write it as a superposition of the states phi I, because we have to know which outcome the apparatus points in the end. So there must be one for every possible case. This implies that the states phi I must constitute a basis, because we can decompose any state in terms of them. To be more precise, what can happen is that a set of states that are different from each other trigger the same outcome for the apparatus. So we might have a set phi I alpha for different values of alpha, and all states inside the set might trigger the outcome I. So how do we express this? So the sets phi I alpha are characteristic of the experiment. The experiment is not able to distinguish states that have the same I but different alphas. So we need an object that summarizes that. We can introduce the operators pi that are defined as the sum over alpha of phi I alpha phi I alpha. These operators are projectors. That means that pi is equal to pi squared, and it's also equal to the adjoint of pi. That's very easy to verify just by direct calculation. And moreover, the properties that we showed for the states phi I transfer to the projector. So the first property was that the states phi I were orthogonal. And this implies that the projectors are orthogonal. The second property of the states phi was that they are a basis, and this implies that the projector pi built a decomposition of the unity. Now we can use the projector pi to calculate every quantity that we need for the experiment. For example, now I'll show you how to write the probability of the outcome y using the projector pi. So the probability of the outcome y, we saw before, was the modulus squared of the coefficient ci. But this is nothing else than the product phi pi phi. So we can use pi to calculate the probability of every outcome. There is still one feature that usual measurements have and that I didn't discuss yet. Until now, I always used indices to identify different outcomes of the measurement. I said the outcome I. But this is not usual. Usually you have values attached to every outcome. Usually you have a scale and the pointer just points one value that is printed on the scale. You don't have an index there. So let's build this feature into the description. So now, from now on, I will call the value that is attached to the outcome I, lambda I. Now, to consider these values, it is useful to introduce the operator A that is defined as sum of lambda I pi. With this operator, we can derive all the relevant statistical and properties and all the relevant probabilities for the measurement. I show you how. So if we want, for example, to calculate the mean of the values lambda that are the outcomes of a certain measurement, so the expectation value on the state phi of the physical quantity lambda, what we do is just calculating the mean as usual. That is, we sum the values lambda I, multiplying each of them by its probability. Now we can substitute what we got for the probability. And we get this expression, and by linearity we can rearrange it. In this way. Now this is nothing else than phi A phi. So the operator A is useful if we want to calculate the mean of the values lambda in a certain experiment. In a similar way, we can calculate the variance of these values. So to calculate the variance, we have to calculate the expectation value of lambda squared minus the expectation value of lambda, the whole thing squared. Now we already calculated the expectation value of lambda, so let's concentrate on the expectation value of lambda squared. So we just write, as we did before, the sum. Now we have to take lambda squared into it, and then the probabilities. Again, we substitute the expression for the probabilities. Now, pi are projectors, so we can use the fact that pi is actually equal to pi squared and substitute pi squared into that. Moreover, the projectors pi are orthogonal to each other for different values of I, not for so I projectors pi and projector pj are orthogonal to each other for I different than j. Therefore, we can add here some off-diagonal terms that are actually equal to zero. So we can write this as the sum over I and j, for all values of I and j, of lambda I lambda j times phi pi pj phi. Now, what I did here is just add some non-diagonal term that are actually equal to zero. Now, what we get here is simply phi a squared phi. So, going back to the variance, using the result of the previous calculation, we can write the variance like this. So you see that also the variance can be calculated using the operator A. So the operator A gives us all the statistical quantities that we are interested in for the experiment. The fact that the projector PI are self-adjoint, together with the fact that the values of the measurement are real, imply that the operator A is self-adjoint, so it's equal to its adjoint. So summarizing, we can compute all quantities relevant for the experiment using the projector P, the projectors PI and the self-adjoint operator A. Now, we got this formalism just using the usual Schrödinger dynamics, restricting Bohmian mechanics to the situation of a measurement interaction. So the specialization of Bohmian mechanics to measurement situations is just the usual textbook formalism for quantum measurements. We also see that every experiment gets described in the same way in Bohmian mechanics and in quantum mechanics, so there is no way that an experiment can have different predictions in Bohmian mechanics and in quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanics is nothing else than Bohmian mechanics restricted to experimental situations. Moreover, the fact that we can derive the measurement formalism from the Schrödinger equation shows that the use of ad hoc axioms for measurement situations is a deliberate theoretical choice and not a necessity. We can use the Schrödinger equation for every situation. To conclude, let me add that this derivation of the measurement formalism from the Schrödinger equation is not exclusively Bohmian. Indeed, it has been derived by Günther Ludwig in the framework of standard quantum mechanics. The difference is that in standard quantum mechanics, to get from the final state of the composite system, that is a big superposition of all possible outcomes, just one of the outcomes in every single run, we need the collapse postulate of the standard quantum mechanics. On the contrary, in Bohmian mechanics, you have the configuration of the system that you can use there. And therefore, you can use the effective wave function instead of the collapsed wave function. So this derivation of the measurement formalism that comes from standard quantum mechanics gets more complete and more natural when inserted in the framework of Bohmian mechanics, because in Bohmian mechanics there is no measurement problem.